All right, Jonathan Colton dropping us into 10 dozen minutes of complaining about our various bodily ailments with Jake and Mr. Skullhead. Jake, are you in the house?
Yeah, I am. Again, you know, I was like, I don't know who this is, but I sure don't like it. And turns out it was Jonathan Colton.
That just amazes me, because if somebody had told me that that was a B-side from, say, The Spine, I would not have been surprised. It sounds like a They Might Be Giants track to me.
Huh.
I mean, he does pretty much what They Might Be Giants do. He just picks a genre and writes a song in that genre, and so you're bound to like at least a quarter of what he puts out. I've
right.
liked everything so far.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe if I'd been paying more attention to the lyrics.
Maybe.
Maybe
I should just quit trying to, like, introduce music to you by playing it at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
Because
I just have a tendency to be cantankerous about whatever was playing.
Right.
I'm not saying you're... You let me pick the music every once in a while. We'll be able to complain about that.
You're contrary or anything. But, yeah, you can always just say, hey, why don't you play... this,
uh-huh.
But if you say, why don't you play something that doesn't suck before this show, I'm not going to know what to play, because our definitions of suck are so far removed from one another.
Right. What have you been up to?
I've been trying to keep warm, pretty much. This weekend, there was a masquerade party, so there was an evening of drinking. Been hanging out with Vaginal Blood Fart and his... wife Greta quite a bit.
Yeah.
And
what did you masquerade as? Or was it just like fancy
clothes and masks?
Right. Okay. Like a Eyes Wide Shut kind of masquerade party.
Mm. Except there wasn't
without all the gang banging.
Right. I was gonna just come as a guy in shades and just get really pissed at all the people masquerading around me, but
right.
I didn't think anybody would get it.
Yeah, it wouldn't have mattered. You would have gotten it in your heart.
And at some point, I don't know, that's a pretty sharp group. At some point, somebody would have switched a blade on me, and I would have been impressed.
Right.
And stabbed. What else? What's going on with you?
I went to, went up to Prescott for the anniversary this weekend.
That
was a lovely time.
So you just stayed at Quaint Bed and Breakfast or something?
No, we stayed at the Hacienda, us and 9 million, well, 9 million 9 million year olds. That hotel reminds me of, like, I don't know, when people talk about, like, you know, Bob Dylan or Leonard Cohen living in a hotel, like, this is the kind of hotel I imagine. It's very, very Spartan rooms.
Yeah.
Very small. Just kind of like a window and a desk and a bed. And
yeah.
There was a TV, but it seemed very out of place. And the room was way too small for it.
If you added a fifth of bourbon or something, that would definitely be a nice hotel.
We did.
Okay. Did you write anything?
No, I didn't. Except my congressman. Lobbying for cheaper fifths of bourbon.
Actually,
I was clever. There weren't any... Well, okay, I was pretty stupid, actually. I didn't realize that there were glasses in the hotel room, and there were, and I went to get that fifth of bourbon, and I'm like, you know, I want something glass to drink this out of. So, looked around in the store, didn't have any glasses, but I bought a salt shaker that I thought had a glass bottom. Turns out it was plastic. Yeah. We went to some of the old haunts. Had some delicious Prescott Brewing Company beers and foods. And yesterday we went up to both to Jerome and Sedona. Looked at hippies.
You just looked at hippies? Is there a hippie museum there now?
No. It was we were more like hippie watching. You know, we had a list of Now, let's see. Crazy crystal worshipping hippie. Check.
Oh, so you were playing hippie bingo.
Yeah. So some guy walked by talking about how he had it on good authority that Bell Rock was one of the Earth's acupuncture points.
Mm-hmm.
So, led me to just want to get the fuck out of there before a giant needle came down from the heavens and crushed me. But, yeah, it's weird. Did you ever climb Bell Rock? Did you ever go there?
I never made it to the top.
Yeah, I didn't either ever, but it's a lot more, like, trailified now.
Hmm.
Like, there are several marked trails that lead up into it, and there were hundreds of people there. It was really weird. This is, like, Sunday of a holiday weekend, so you couldn't really... It's not that surprising. But, I picked up this interesting getting a headache every, evening habit while I was there, and I don't really know what the fuck that's all about. But it's in full effect now.
Hmm.
That was what the complaining about bodily ailments was, by the way, for those of you listening.
Yeah, and, one of my tonsils just went nuts as I was sitting here waiting to start the show.
Oh, yeah?
My throat feels all swollen and closed up and pissy and vinegary. I really should stop drinking all that vinegar.
Yeah. Sorry, I had one eye on the dev log. So, hey, everybody, new Clover Adventures today. Some things people have been asking for, because we care. Don't we, Mr. Scullin?
Deeply. Truly, madly, about deeply.
We care about the players, about offending different minority groups, not so much.
I was surprised that both of the things that I've written recently that I thought, I don't know about this, you were perfectly okay with putting in.
The Valentine about the pickle?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
It was, which was why I had to do it, but I just wondered if it was a little too risque.
No. I mean, you know me.
Right.
I'm all about cleansing the taint.
Indeed.
You know,
in your we can imply,
we
can,
we finally acknowledge explicitly the pickle penis similarity, but you still, you don't think it's a good idea to talk about the Dutch oven.
Oh, no, I don't have a problem with the inappropriate humor of it. Just both of those, the Dutch oven thing and the taint thing, just annoy me because they're things that extremely stupid people did to the English language that have now become common usage.
Oh, come on. You mean extremely cool people?
No, it's real stupid to say, because it taint the balls and it taint the ass.
No. I think you're confusing stupid with really cool again.
I might be. So that must be why really Fonzie stupid, on Happy Days was always going around, hey Cunningham, how are you?
Yeah.
At this point, you're welcome to go, stop it, you idiot. I hate that mongoloid voice.
No. I I already brushed my teeth today. we didn't do a show on... We got this problem where our anniversary is 2 days after Valentine's Day, so
mm-hmm.
it's just nonstop romance, and that's this problem.
Right.
We went to a restaurant called Coup de Tarte, which specializes in room temperature tarts.
Right.
It was very busy. It was a small restaurant, and it was very busy, so I don't think they got to pay as much attention to the food as they normally do. But, yeah, no show on Thursday is what I was getting at, so there's a lot of questions. Anything in particular you want to talk about before I just dive in here?
No, let's get into the questions.
Okay. Frank and Bean says, I just noticed that the go back link in the Haunted Pantry points to the right side of the tracks instead of the manor after the manor is unlocked. I would assume this is incorrect, but you know what you get when you assume. That is just me not bothering to write a special exception case for that, which I, it's possible that I could, you know, figure out a clever way to deal with that. But I also, I just don't know that... There are a few assumptions that I make. One is that once you've unlocked the entire manor, that you're probably not spending a whole lot of time in the pantry. So it doesn't really matter. And also that, you know, the knob works that way too. And that consistency is better than work.
Right.
Brian199611 says, my annoying brother managed to guess my password and just told me that he asked for in-game bugs in the game and thought that I was interested. Well, can you please forget about it? Yeah, likely story, Brian199611.
It's always the brother.
Sometimes your brother, the cousin. That stole all those Pop-Tarts from that convenience store, too, and somehow managed to pin it on you. Azrain says, it seems that all the chat effects that append to the end of a message starting with a comma break links, inserting the comma into the hyperlink as well as the text. Yeah. At some point, I think what we need to do is, rather than fixing all of the things that break links, we need to fix the thing that generates. I don't think a link ever ends with a comma.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know that it is possible to have a comma in a properly formed URL. So, that's probably fairly easy to fix that particular one. But what we really need is some regular expression foo. A rewrite of that whole make this link linked linky link. The Duke of Doitung says, in the spirit of disposing of used quest items, how about making the Spooky Raven keys cookable into pies like the layer keys? You know, I like seeing all of the keys that I've collected throughout a game when I'm playing a game. Like, that's something that I, you know... The reason that, in my mind, you can adventure in the library is not... Well, yeah, you know, it's not that you have unlocked the door to the library and now it's just unlocked and you can go and come as you please, but that you unlock it every time because, you know, the malevolent spirits that keep it locked even though some other player just unlocked it keep locking it again every time you leave.
And so the doors just swing shut and stays locked.
No, the malevolent spirits.
The door swings shut because malevolent
or a spring.
Right. A malevolent That's spring?
Right. Yeah, it could be. It could be a possessed spring. yeah, so I suppose I could see another inventory section for keys. That's what, like, World of Warcraft eventually did that, right? Like, because keys actually took up limited inventory space, and people didn't want to get rid of keys to, like, you know, lower-level dungeons and stuff, because they still wanted to be able to go see them if they wanted to, so they just sort of created this infinitely sized bag for keeping keys in that's separate from your other bags, which, you know, we don't have that problem, because we don't have limited inventory space, but, I guess I don't know. I mean, I don't know how big of a deal quest item clutter is from a gameplay perspective, right? Like, I can certainly understand, like, the clutter issue in general, but the quest item section, like, even mine, which tends to have, like, everything in it, is just not all that big. I don't know. Foggy's come up with, and I'm not at all surprised that it was Foggy who discovered these things. There are some problems with the way that the vibrato translation stuff works. It gets screwed up. It did not occur to me that was going to break on monsters with numbers in their names, but there is apparently a problem there. The SK8 gnome breaks it. Play Havoc says, who cleans up the trash when you stop it from falling? My friend Danny thinks it's a giant maid with a vacuum cleaner. So, that's how they're going to get the air out. Oh, I get it.
Spaceballs.
She's gone from suck to blow.
No, I think it's a whole bunch of ordinary sized maids.
Yeah.
In a world where you have clockwork maids, they take out the trash.
Yep. somebody asks, who is it? Spleen Master says, is there any benefit to raising the weight of the temporal riftlet over 20 pounds? I don't actually remember how the temporal riftlet works. It's the one that it de-levels. It's like a barnacle, and then sometimes it gives you a turn back. Is that... Are you checking the wiki?
No.
What is the... Now I'm curious. I want to see if there is any benefit to raising the riftlet over 20 pounds. Because I wouldn't have thought that I would have made a familiar work in such a way that 20 pounds was the only... Okay, 43 is what it is. I'm sure a lot of sections of the fight code where the number 4 and then it's followed by the number 3. Yeah, there is absolutely an advantage. Huh. I'm surprised that that's how that works. But that is how it works. Yeah, let's see. Both in the de-leveling and in the chance of giving you an extra adventure, it is worth having extra weight past 20 on the riftlet. So that answers that question to mine and hopefully to Spoon Master's satisfaction. Uber Noodle Boy says, if you're going to make Reston a zone, you should include Reston monkeys. They could give you Ebola. If you aren't up on your biological disasters, Reston was a research laboratory where a bunch of test monkeys escaped. That was in London, right? And then everybody died?
I thought Dustin Hoffman stopped it.
Oh. Oh, okay.
We just assume, by the way, that any film we watch is a documentary.
Yeah. Yeah, I was really surprised to find out about all that 28 Days Later stuff, because, like, they managed to rebuild society really quickly.
I was just amazed that the press could cover it up like that. There wasn't even anything about it on the net.
Yeah.
Or the web.
Rowden says, I hate fish. My first roommate listened to it a lot, and the lyrics never made any sort of sense to me. Worse, they sounded like they were written to sound deep. I think I'd like fish better if I didn't understand English. Or, you know, if somebody took a power drill to my Broca's area. No, not that one, the one in my brain.
I haven't really had trouble with their lyrics. I mean, there aren't that many of them. And I don't think of their lyrics as pretentious.
Yeah, they're you know, sort of goofy poetry, but not like, you know, oh, here, you know, listen to all my angst. But I don't know. I don't mind.
Yeah, it's not like a Blind Guardian or Dream Theater level of pretension. Maybe my pretension meter's just been miscalibrated by listening to a bunch of theatrical power metal.
Yeah. And Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
No, wait,
that broke your things that suck meter.
Apparently broke yours.
Yeah. Cheese Dude says, Jick, I agree with you about Twilight Princess. The controls sucked, and Midna and the story was craptacular. I mean, I didn't really get a chance to get into the story. My initial impression is that the controls were definitely frustrating, and I feel like they could have just omitted the entire wolf part of the game, and I would not have really missed anything. Like, it was it was on rails until it opened up so wide that I had no fucking idea where to go. Hmm. And I really don't like it when games do that.
From what I saw, after she got used to the wolf, Jess was able to control him very well, and that part of the game became her favorite part of the game.
Really? I mean, I don't have a problem controlling the wolf. I just feel like the whole having to shake the controller to swing the sword or to, like, bite with the wolf was just a terrible decision.
Yeah, it didn't make too much sense. I mean, I'll never know because I'm never going to play me some Zelda.
Oh, yeah.
3D Zelda is just impossible for me. I couldn't make it past the tutorial of Ocarina of Time.
You know, see, I got really into Ocarina of Time. And I would have told you for a long time that it was my favorite Zelda game and probably my favorite video game of all time, but I just can't go back to it. I cannot go back and play it now. Like, I feel like every few years, for the rest of my life, I will play through A Link to the Past and just love every minute of it. But, Ocarina of Time, I don't know, man. It's either I've gotten used to decent camera, or I just can't... It's weird. I can't deal with the graphics in early 3D stuff. Like, I like Atari games, you know? It's not that the graphics have to be a certain level of quality for me to care. It's just... Bad 3D is so bad compared to bad 2D, you know?
I don't know. I would go back to Mario 64.
Would you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I've never really gone there in the first place. I sort of put down Galaxy and never picked it back up again.
I put it down too and never picked it back up again, but I did that a lot later than you did.
I mean, I really got past all of my initial misgivings, and I'm interested in playing it. Somebody later on, I was flipping through the questions. Somebody also asked about Rogue Galaxy for the PS2, which I was pretty excited about that game when I heard about it, and then I just kind of forgot about it. Waited for it to get cheap, and I bought it. I came home from the game store, and I played it for a couple hours, and then I went to dinner, and then just never turned on the game again. I have no idea why that happened. I don't remember not liking it, you know. I should try that again. I feel like if I had, I don't know what it is. If I had, a PS2 that followed me around. If the cat was a game console. So just, every time I saw the cat, I was like, oh yeah, there's that game I was playing yesterday. So I would never just, forget. Then I would play through a lot more games than I play through.
Maybe you should just play all of your games on September 11th.
That's a pretty good idea.
Or at the Alamo.
Right, yeah, in the basement.
There's no basement at the Alamo.
I've been watching some more Buffy. Somebody later asks about Buffy. I'm at the, I don't know, I'm three episodes from the end of the second season or something.
So you're getting into the heavy angst.
Angel's a bad guy at this point.
He does make one of the better villains of the series, I gotta say.
Yeah. I mean, surely they resolved that by the end of this season, right? Because the spin-off series starts after season 2, right?
After season 3.
Oh, okay. Well... Okay, it's the thing. I'm sad. He is a good villain, and my wife insists that he's the only person in the entire series who can act. Although I pointed out that that Giles's actor can also act. Okay, she said he's the only one doing a good job within the context of the show, which I'm not entirely sure.
I think there are only maybe a couple of characters that do a bad job in the context of the show. That would be one of the villains in season 6 is a nerd, and a completely over the top nerd in a trio of nerds who the other two are pretty much normal nerds. And
right.
So that's kind of irritating. And Kendra the Vampire Slayer was a pretty horrible actor.
I'm looking forward to when she dies. I think my wife's problem is, she has a really hard time with, and honestly, this bothers me some too, but not as much as it bothers her, the way that the sort of core young people group talk is very, I don't know, every single sentence is calculated to be, hip and edgy and clever.
They talk the way that we talked in high school, man.
Do they?
Yeah.
Because I don't remember talking about how, it was maximum smoochage and shit like that, she's driven completely crazy by the way Allison Hannigan talks in general.
Huh. And random pauses.
I've never met anyone who talks like that in real life.
But the style of dialogue where it seems like before they say something, they play it over in their head a couple of times to to twist it and say it as cleverly as they can. That is totally how we talk tonight.
No, that is how we talked. I mean, we were also sort of annoying.
adding edge to anything to the end of anything is kind of annoying. But they'll tone that down a bit too.
No, and the thing is, the series has me really looking forward to when they're not in high school anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's you know.
That,
how long did they stretch that out? It seems like both of the first seasons were the same school year.
Season 3 ends with graduation.
Ah, okay. But then, do they go to college in the same town?
They try to.
I see.
But there isn't really a...
But then vampires kill them all?
Yeah, actually, the entire cast ends up vampires at the end of... or in the middle of season 4, and then...
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. It was really unexpected.
Enemy Lasagna says, why do the series of random encounters look like eyeball chocolate kisses? Yeah, they're the slimes from Dragon Warrior, you know, which is the finest way of parodying Final Fantasy, I think, is to make fun of Dragon Warrior.
Yep.
In that context. I don't know what's the Final Fantasy equivalent of the slimes in Dragon Warrior?
I wouldn't know, because I'd never played the filthy motherfucker.
I feel like every Final Fantasy game that I've played, there's no, like, the monsters don't have any, like, sort of personality or sense of the biome that they appear in. Like, oh, here's this little gnome guy with knives, and then later on you find the orange gnome guy with knives, and then, you know, here's a thing made out of tentacles that's inexplicably out on the prairie, you know, like...
Mm-hmm.
Like, the artwork was always really cool, but, like, the monsters don't really have any personality. And I don't know why I feel like they do in Dragon Warrior, because just those slimes, and then the bats, and then, you know, a magician. You're like, yeah, fuck you, David Copperfield. Sable 4 says, anyone played No More Heroes on the Wii? It's an interesting beat-em-up with a bizarre sense of humor.
I have been interested in that. It's once it is, I have a feeling that pairing that with Endless Ocean would kind of make both of the games better. So just kind of chill out for a while and then play a shoot-em-up for a while. And that's the game where you have the lightsaber, right?
Oh, yeah, okay. Right, yeah, you were telling me about that last time. Sable 4 also says, I personally would be very interested in the new PvP system idea. After 2 years of playing the game, I got mostly bored with Ascension and grinding and only checked new content and new radio shows. Games that I moved to online were PvP-based, as I find it inherently more satisfying to defeat a human opponent than an automaton. Automaton is kind of a cool word, actually.
I think it's just supposed to be automaton, though.
Yeah. But autonomic is also a word.
Hmm.
So an autonomaton is like an automaton that's even more automated.
Hmm. What do you suppose would be an automatopoeia for an autonomaton? Like, zhing?
Clang, 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 whirr. Max Vance says, how much longer until you implement the cheesecake shotgun? Don't cry. And on a more serious note, can you make getting the Elvibrato power spheres less boring? Constantly adventuring at the poop deck gets old after a while. Well, you could always adventure somewhere to earn meat and then buy the spheres in the mall.
You know, if we have established nothing else in the past 6 months, it's that we don't know how to make things that aren't boring.
Yeah. I mean... I can understand how somebody who is accustomed to the freewheeling, easy access to stuff that the game tends to grant, you know, to experienced players, right? Like, you don't remember how the first time you played the game you spent hundreds of turns in places that you shouldn't have because you hadn't found the wiki yet, you know? So anything that requires you to spend actual time and actual resources is going to be weird to you, and... that was kind of the point of the Elvibrato stuff. You know, it's. I wanted to see how people would respond to content that had a kind of a cost of entry to it, you know? And they respond by complaining about the cost of entry, of course. And somebody actually slightly evil had said, the new content looks awesome, but are there any plans for enchantments on the individual outfit pieces? Now, we kind of decided... the process of figuring out what that outfit was going to do was really long and ended in a kind of sudden flash of insight that led to the way it currently is. And it's I don't really have any interest in putting enchantments on the individual pieces because I just really like the way the outfit works. iClubU says, thanks for letting us throw away the shopping list. Could you do the same for Fernsworthy's letter, archaeologist's notebook, class ring / beads, and other things like that, please? Also, you can't finish Captain Karancha's quest if you've already bombed the Orcish frat house. Could you fix this, please? I'm pretty sure that's not true.
I thought that
we didn't bother writing a different version of it because it would have just been a tremendous amount of writing for some really a really limited number of like edge case players.
Mm.
And, yeah, you totally can, as far as I know. It doesn't make any sense. It talks about it when you're using the blueprints as though it was still the regular frat house. But, let's see. Saucy Dragon says, line spacing on the meat from yesterday description. Let's see what's wrong with that. I might have just forgotten to do a line break. Yes, I did. When we change those haiku dungeon items to... five-syllable items with the continuation of the haiku as their description. I forgot to put in a lot of the line breaks. I forget. Some of the spindlers, like, I think when we put in adventures, we don't have to put paragraph breaks in the text because the adventure code automatically puts them in, but items, when you look at an item description, if we don't actually explicitly put in paragraph breaks, it ends up showing all on one line.
Hmm. I'll make a note of it.
Landstuhl says, what are the two sexiest barnyard animals? Brown chicken, brown cow. That's
not bad.
Kind of funny.
That was worth a heh.
Yeah.
Not really a lol, but
right.
More of a lol.
Senor Random says, when will I get to fight the drama llama at McMillican Cuddy's farm? So many ducks, it's only natural there'd be a llama.
You can only fight the Drama Llama in the forums.
Alright. Or is that an ultra-rare monster? Perhaps it could drop an LJ. Some sort of accessory that gives intrinsic gothy. Yeah, I don't know. You know what's kind of funny is that Forum Wars game that somebody linked us to. Did you look at it at all?
No, I don't think I ever saw that.
It's, forumwarz.com. I actually played my turns on it every day for about a week.
Hmm.
It's about pwning forums. Although I've made a mistake that has basically halted my progress until I do a bunch of grinding and I'm sort of disinclined to try that. They've got kind of an interesting donation scheme too. Like you donate and you get these points with which you basically like. It would be as though a Mr. Accessory gave you 10,000 extra adventures. Like if you could turn into Mr. Accessory for 10,000 adventures, and like a single skill that cost no MP and killed any monster in the game in one shot. Like it's, I don't really know how I feel about that. And then you can also donate for stuff like you know, like avatar changing other people's avatars and stuff like that sort of typical thing, but.
Right.
There's basically no player interaction in the game, from what I can tell. But it's funny. You pwn forums. That's... Yeah. Putinesca says, regarding the recent change to the NPC art, after 10 rounds of combat, does it still act 50% of the time? That is the chance of it acting independent of the number of actions that it can perform? Yes, it is. It is the case. And I think I actually stealth-nerfed the Kokobo, too, so that... basically, any time after round 10 that the NPZR would be stealing meat, it is now performing one in particular of its other actions. I think the attack action. And the moves mentioned something that we were talking about in Dev a little bit today. He says, hello, gents. There was a thread in the forums about Tuesday updates and how people still want them. And then somebody mentioned how they would at least like a Tuesday progress report, even if it was just a report and not an update. I don't know if that's totally necessary, and I understand your reasoning for no longer updating every Tuesday, but somebody like me, updates are what keep me going in this game. Items of the month and new content are what keep me interested past Ascension goals. The El Vibrato content has brought me back from burnout, so I like the idea of updates or maybe teasers being released in a more concrete form than dropped info on the radio. Then again, that might be time-consuming and annoying for you. Anyway, this is totally long. Love the game. Rock on. Yeah, I mean, I guess I tend to think of saying stuff on the radio as saying stuff to the player base at large.
Right.
When that is not the case.
And there have been some complaints about that, so...
Yeah, the trouble is, I feel like... In the context of the radio show, we can kind of get away with saying, like, hey, wouldn't it be neat if we did some, you know, content thing, and then you say, yeah, that would be really cool. Ah, we should work on that tomorrow. And then, you know, invariably we don't end up working on it tomorrow. And Tuesday was neat because it gave us some deadlines, right? But it gave us deadlines for a real specific kind of work that's not... I don't feel like it's particularly important anymore. Like, we had a big backlog of really minor changes that, you know, needed some way of being forced into existence. And I... Honestly, now that it's... I feel like there's a fairly level path ahead of us for the next few months, right? There's, like, until Comic-Con, there's really nothing going on that's going to keep us away from the game, right? And I honestly feel like people don't complain about, and not that I'm counting this as complaining or so, but people don't lament the death of Tuesday updates during weeks when we've added something to the game on Monday, you know, or even the week after we add something to the game on Thursday. And like, I kind of like the ability to just play fast and loose with the way that we work on stuff, because there aren't going to be months where we don't do anything. That was, you know, the NS13 burnout is sort of over, right? And basically since October, I feel like we've been adding stuff to the game at a faster pace than we ever added stuff during the Tuesday update era. And... You know, I kind of like that. I feel like there's a lot of stuff that we do as trivial updates that could be regular announcements, and it would make people think that there was more stuff going on.
Right.
And, you know, that can be, and also, you know, we do some little things without announcing them sometimes, little changes, so it's, you know, we'll make interface improvements that were as impactful as the least impactful Tuesday update, you know, and just not announce it at all. But, yeah, maybe we should quit doing that. I don't like announcing plans. You know, I don't like... You know, there was something that we banged on for a while and just couldn't make it work, and so we just sort of scrapped it as a project. And it would suck for people if we had been talking about it a lot and been really, you know, sort of vocally excited about it, and announcing, oh yeah, we're doing this thing pretty soon, and it's going to be great, and it's going to be great, and then we get to the last mile and think, you know, this isn't going to work, we need to build this into something else down the road instead. Like, and the whole idea of a progress report, to me, I feel like it's going to create expectations that we then disappoint, rather than getting people excited about stuff, you know?
Yeah. I would love to add to what you just said, but I think that you said everything that I would have said. So,
Tyler Salt says, I think it'd be pretty neat stuff where only a limited number of players have a chance to get the best rewards. And then, like, if it were a council quest, there could be a different boss for each of the main stats or something. Not a particularly well thought out idea, but something. It would be cool if there were more things that were different about the game on subsequent playthroughs. If you're just, you know, if you're just kind of ascending and still paying attention to everything, that was something that, you know, we had a lot of ideas for stuff when we were rolling Ascension out. That was like, you know, stuff that would alternate every Ascension, or stuff that, you know, the idea was kind of to have something, even something as simple as the, like, you know, drunken half-orc hobo versus the hungover half-orc hobo, like, everywhere in the game. But those, we just sort of ran out of time and then didn't ever come back to it. But I don't know. the pamphlet that's available at the pirate bookstore is different every time through, different for everybody. So,
right.
Yeah. Gamma Ray says, so when will zapping get a nice revamp like meat pasting did? Maybe it could even get a link at the top too. You know, that is something that is so very optional that I don't care if the way the zap one works is confusing. Like, it's entirely fine that pops up a list with 1,000 items on it, and only, you know, 600 of them are actually going to change to something else if you zap them. Like, I'm completely okay with that.
Yeah, I'd have to side with you on that one. I'd think about the cooking stuff. I know you know, only cooking ingredients show up in the cooking, but just thinking about those little interface revamps, I think it would be kind of neat to have a recipe book, so that once you made some ghoul goulash or something, you could always just make it with a click, rather than having to select the items. Just, if you have the items, you can make it by clicking on the recipe, you know, something like that.
Yeah, the thing that has stopped me from doing that in the past is just the storage requirements of suddenly tracking knowledge of recipes. Right? Like, there is probably something clever that we could do. I mean, it's... You could conceivably store all of the recipes that somebody has discovered in less space than their quest log notes, you know? So it's not, it's possible, I guess.
So we just have to start.
To think about that.
Just one day, everything you cook adds a number to a table.
Except that, you know, it has to, I don't want it to be another table that's just going to keep getting bigger the more players we have, like the inventory table. I mean, there's a finite size on it, which is nice, but, you know, if it would probably end up just being stored as like a textual list of numbers of stuff that you've acquired the recipes for. And, yeah, I don't know. It would probably behoove us to make it so all of the crafting is handled by the same script anyway.
Right.
Because right now, every time I do anything to, like, cooking, it requires a, you know, if I change, if, you know, the whole cook as many as possible, then we have to add a smith as many as possible, then we have to add a cocktail craft as many as possible, a meat paste as many as possible. It's a pain in the ass, but...
Yeah.
Mongrel Cat says, champagne popping or an analogous mechanic on spiders in the back alley doesn't work. Most likely there are multiple copies of the monster unless the poppers are broken. I think that astronomer was the last place in the game where there were multiple... It's not multiple copies of the same monster. Multiple copies of the same monster in a zone is a different thing than what was going on with the astronomer. There were actually two identical monsters with different monster IDs.
I think that's what he meant, though, by...
Yeah. No, I know.
But there are two of those spiders, and two of the completely different spiders, I thought. But I'm wrong. Never mind.
They're the same... They have the same item ID, or same monster ID, rather?
I thought that when we revamped the back alley, there were... That we made new copies of the big creepy spider and the completely different spider, but we didn't.
Huh.
So there are... there's only one of each.
Yeah, so that's... I mean, it's possible that this person thinks that the big spider and the completely different spider are not two different monsters, but they are.
I mean, that's very explicit.
Yeah. Weird, but... Okay. Yeah, I gotta stop bouncing around. Grethko says, using Doc Galactic, I was only able to recover up to 2,456 of my 3,506 max mana, and it tells me I'm already at my max, using the Marshmallow's percent stat increase mechanic. Oh, wait. Never mind. These are two of the questions. Yeah, okay. It's possible that... Galactic. Alright, I'm gonna rebuild Doc Galactics and repush it. Because every once in a while, well, not every once in a while, whenever anything changes Get Player, I have to push everything that calls Get Player, and sometimes stuff doesn't get pushed. I think that that's the problem with the max HP from the Alvibrato outfit, too. Something is goofy there, and I need to look at it, which tomorrow may well be fix a bunch of random bugs day, but yeah. Ted, Grethko, let me know if that's still happening with Doc Galactics, and if so, it must be something else. Dark Grey Cat says, lack of spices in hardcore makes me sad. Can we get a tangy pirate in Barney's who will drop spices? That's kind of funny. I don't know. We might figure. I guess I didn't realize there is probably a category of people to whom the adventure where you got all the spices in the out of disguise or in the in disguise cove was something that they actually used on purpose. You sort of forget that not everybody despises zones that are nothing but non-combats.
Right.
And part of that is because the vocal minority doesn't like them, and I don't particularly like them, so I don't know. We'll put that on that round table. Fred Levi says, there should be a comfy bed at the Demon Market. You know, some way for people to go back to resting and restoring both HP and MP if they can't make a new dwelling easily. It doesn't cost you anything to have either the... Like, putting in the gauze hammock does not cause you to recover less MP than if you didn't have it. Those things are 100% bonus at this point. So, I see what you're saying, but I think that you're saying that because you think it works in a different way than it does. Shoffel says, the song from Pee Wee's Big Adventure you were looking for is called Breakfast Machine, and it is by Danny Elfman. Yeah. Well, fine. Frankenbean says, the Chock Full of Nanites effect heals 1 HP and MP even if your HP and MP is max. This doesn't impact gameplay, but is odd. And I rewrote that code so that I could use it in multiple places. It was actually the purple smoke cone code. And I might have screwed something up. Play Havoc says, is there a way you guys could make it so that I can post a link to topics in my clan forum in clan chat?
That would be kind of awesome.
Yeah, that is a good idea. I feel like you could... It would need a new... I'm guessing that Zeno could write something to just drop that into a chat... Drop a link that would work into the chat box. Like, have something that you could click on. Yeah, we'll think about that. And then Kaju sends a link to this online solvable medium difficulty cryptic crosswords in the Scottish Herald. I'll have to take a look at that later.
And those were really fun. That book that Riff had that one time.
Yeah, the thing is, cryptics are I just feel way too hard for me to solve by myself.
Right.
Like, it's fine if there are four or five of us and we're sitting around, you know, solving these cryptics, and you can pass it around and have somebody else take a look at the ones you're stuck on. Or I'm always better at, like, if somebody thinks they know what the word is but can't figure out how the clue works, I'm a lot better at, like, figuring out how the pun works than I am coming up with the word in the first place.
Yeah.
So, that says. Oatgan says, have you seen Breaking Bad? It has the dad from Malcolm in the Middle and he runs a meth lab. Hilarity ensues. Next episode is on the 17th. No, haven't even heard of that.
The movie Spun taught me nothing else, it's that comedy and meth labs go together like peanut butter and Todd liver oil.
I've never seen Spun.
Don't.
Really?
Yeah, Roy would probably tell you that it's awesome and that you totally have to see it, and it's just horrible.
Huh.
It's kind of a, you know, not only is it fairly despicable, it's also boring and then not very well made.
Oh.
So it's it. Well. But, you know, you don't feel the same way I did about Happiness either, so I don't know, you might enjoy it. Because you don't like things that are good.
Alright, that's true. And I do like things that are bad, don't forget that.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was not only horrible, but kind of despicable. But Roy was like, dude, isn't that awesome? And it's like, meth lab played for laughs, and yay. Like, yeah, that's great.
Frankenmean says, he points out, and I've actually seen this reported before, and I just forgot about it, that the Divine Champagne Flute fires when you drink the steel margarita, which, that should not happen. Shop Troll says, hi, Jake and Mr. Skullhead. I know Scully said the can has cyborg or intrinsic item with Spindle, but what happened to it? I was really looking forward to seeing it implemented. Yeah, I guess... Yeah, we might as well do that. It's right there. I think I even drew it. Dr. Van Van Mojo says, in places where players make choices where any alternative eventually gets them where they want, do you ever track player preferences? For example, the number of players who do the level 12 quest as hippie instead of frat, or who fight in the Cola Wars for cloaca instead of dyspepsia, or how many people follow the pencil that demon. No, actually. That'd be an interesting thing to track, though. My worry on tracking something like the frat versus hippie is that we would probably get very different things out of that information than we actually should, because, you know, there are going to be things where, like, that decision is made so many more times by the people who are optimizing and playing through over and over again that they become overrepresented. Raymond Kinger says, hey, when you go into Bartleby's Bargain Books, and he only has one R when he says paperback, typo or not? Not.
Yeah, I mean, we could have made it a paperback, but that would have been silly.
Yeah.
I just think it's unfortunate that I can't think of a natural way to have Bartleby say that he prefers not to. Because Herman Melville references for the win.
Yes, indeed. Kimmy is the one who asked about Rogue Galaxy. Kind of makes me want to try and play that again. You know what would be... You know what would make me play stuff like that? Handheld PS2. A portable PS2. Yeah, on a cat's back.
Right. I wonder how far off we are from, like, a portable,
I mean,
because
they made the PSONE, right? Like,
mm-hmm. Which, like, that thing is kind of cumbersome. Basically a portable PlayStation. You're talking about something that has compatibility with the games, though, right?
Yeah, something that will actually play PS2 games. Mm-hmm. Like,
I'm sure somebody's made one and you can buy it on eBay.
Zortag also says, a couple of quest items that would be nice to be able to do away with. The strange leaflet and the archaeologist notebook. The notebook, sure. The strange leaflet, though, I don't want people to be able to get rid of that, and this is sort of always been, like, back in the day when nobody was complaining about quest item glut, people were still saying the leaflet should go away when you're done with it, but I really want to reserve the right to add content to the leaflet at any point. That doesn't mean I'm going to, but I want to be able to. So yeah, I don't want that to disappear. And I was like, but Jake, you just make it so you could get another one. No, it's the same leaflet. Oatgan says, take a look at the first entry in the radio show archive. Do you guys have a time machine and use it to go back in time to the only instance of October 0th?
Yep.
I don't think that's how that works. I don't think there was an October Zero. Let's see. I don't see an October Zero. Oh, no. There is. October Zeroth of the year 1210. That's really strange. Oh, of course, because it's .mp3.mp3. I don't know if I can... I have OSCP open.
Yeah, somebody has built a PS2 portable.
Really?
It's pretty big.
Yeah, I would expect... I mean, the form factor of it's going to be huge if it takes CD-ROMs, you know? It's going to... Or I guess PS2 games are on DVDs, but same difference. Does it look nice?
Yeah,
Is it like that nice wood grain Atari?
I'll drop a link in dev so that everybody who's listening to us can not hear it. It's the guy Ben Heck, BenHeck.com. He's made like a portable everything. I think he did a GameCube and an N64 before the DS came out.
Crazy.
He just jams a bunch of hardware into a case. It's pretty special.
There's a section called Wiring the Unit. Well, anyway, that's cool. I should wait for one of those to really exist and buy it. Let's see. I'm going to fix that radio show. Because that's actually... At least you could download it if you wanted to. Although, now I can't find it. There it is. This is good radio. Okay. Oh, look, error renaming file. And the error message from the server was the word failure. Damn it. I guess I'm a failure. Shop Troll says, are you guys still planning on doing an optional quest for Little Canadia? Tiny Plastic Series 2 hints at it, but I've never heard anything about it before. Yeah, you know, I had this grand plan of going into work today and finally coding up that quest. And I got there and just did nothing of the sort. One of these days I will... It would probably only take me a few hours to put it together. Riff has done the overwhelming majority of the work for that quest. It's a really simple thing too. It's a good amount of content, but it's not conceptually all that complicated. So, yeah, it is something that I periodically feel enthusiastic about. So, odds are, happen soon. Where soon is any value between soon and very not soon. Let's see. No in says, how often do people actually buy Uncle P's antiques? Basically never.
Right.
Effectively never. Grax says, can you please get rid of the flag that prevents the Lionel dropping before the bird rib? I think that what I was going to do was just make it so on Ascensions after the first one. It can. Let me pop that up on the screen in front of me so that I can see how complicated it's going to be to do that. And maybe I'll do that during the break. That's in Whitey's Grove. Yeah. Okay. Wow, this conditional is kind of nuts. Say, wow, that is the most convoluted conditional. Is it the bird rib that has the actual conditional? So yeah. All right, I'll take a look at that maybe during a break and see what I can do with it. You want to take the break sooner?
Sure. We could take the break now if you'd like.
Okay. All
right, we'll be back in about 10 minutes, folks.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the seventh inning stretch.
In West Philadelphia, born and raised on the playground, I've never spent most of my days chilling out, maxing, relaxing, or cooling, or shooting some ball outside of the school, when a couple of guys who were up to no good started making trouble in my neighborhood. I got in one little fight and my mom got scared and said, "You're moving with your auntie and uncle in Bel-Air."
Where I come from isn't all that great. My automobile is a piece of crap. My fashion sense is a little whack, and my friends are just as creepy as me. I didn't go to boarding schools. Preppy girls never looked at me. Why should they? I ain't nobody. Got nothing in my pocket. Get calling me Maurice, 'cause I speak of the poverty of love.
Oh, yeah. I have no fear, my dear.
People talk about me, baby.
Talk about me bad too.
They say I'm doing you wrong, doing you wrong, doing you wrong. Well, don't let that worry you, baby.
Oh, baby, mama.
'Cause I'm right here, right here, right here, right here at home.
Baby,
I don't want you to know. I'm a lover and I'm a son. I play the music in the sun. I'm a joker, I'm a smoker, I'm a midnight joker. I give my love and I'm the run.
They have to pay, but she packed my suitcase and sent me on my way. She gave me a kiss and then she gave me my ticket. I put my Walkman on and said I might as well kick it. First class, yo, this is bad. Drinking orange juice out of a champagne glass. Is this what the people of Bel-Air live like? This might be alright. But wait, I hear the first thing I have in mind. Oh, what? Is this the type of thing they can do in school yet? I don't think so. When I get there, I hope it's a day. Long trip to Bel-Air.
All those movie stars that are so beautiful and clean. When the house meets with the floor, they feel the same. I wanna live a life like that. I wanna be just like the king. Take my picture by the pool. Cause I'm the next big
thing. You're my darling. In my picture, you're the king. You're my darling. Girl, you're my friend. I've been dreaming.
Like a cop standing there with my name out. I ain't trying to get arrested yet, I just got here. I sprang with the quickness like lightning disappeared. I went to more cab and when it came near, the license plate is tricking it and dice in the mirror. If anything, I could say that this cab was clear, but I thought, man, for me to go home to Bel-Air. About 7 or 8, and I yelled to the cabbie, "Yo ho, smell you later." Looked at my kingdom, I was finally there. She stood on my throne as the Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah, don't stand a chance. I'm just a no-class, beat-down fool, and I will always be that way. I might as well enjoy my life and watch the stars fade. I don't need it, all I'm doing too long. I'm
Whoa. Alright then. And we're back in the saddle again. I don't know if...
Hey, sorry. I thought when that song started there was going to be another song.
I had intended to stop there and...
I see. I got two trivial updates done while we were on break. And I peed.
I think the rest of the questions in the queue are probably going to be, hey, could you fix this thing? How about this thing?
Yeah, probably. Max Vance echoed that sentiment. Why does getting El Vibrato Power Spheres have to be so boring? Spending 30 turns in a zone where you've seen everything just to get 5 turns on El Vibrato Island gets old quickly. Well,
then don't do it.
Yeah, it won't get old for new players, because they won't have already... I mean, I guess part of the problem is that it requires people to spend a lot of turns in a place where people have been spending just a fuck ton of turns anyway. Mm. But, I mean, that's... It was part of that event, you know. It just got rolled out much later. So, yeah.
I mean, I consider the El Vibrato stuff to be entirely optional. So, it's a challenge for the kind of people who like those kind of challenges, and if you're not that kind of person, you don't really have any business doing it. Oh, you don't have any business complaining about it.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's probably a more apt. Artie Effham says, Chicken Company, where were you, or no, when and where did you hear your first Pixies song? I think that the first Pixies song I ever heard was the UK Surf remix of Wave of Mutilation on the Pump Up the Volume soundtrack. And I guess when was when I saw Pump Up the Volume for the first time.
That is exactly the the same way that I encountered the Pixies. I didn't know that that was the Pixies, and so I thought that when Charlie put Here Comes Your Man on a mixtape for me, I thought that that was the first time I'd heard any Pixies. Huh. I still have heard maybe 4 Pixies songs, possibly 3.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. I found a copy of Doolittle in the 99-cent bin at Hastings. I was happy to see that Hastings is still in business.
Hmm.
I found a copy of Doolittle in the 99-cent bin when I was in high school. Got a handful of treasures in there. Remember when they had Vanilla Ice to the Extreme for 25 cents?
Yeah, and we bought it and played Frisbee with it in the parking lot?
Yeah.
Good time.
Because 25 cents is cheap for a Frisbee.
Yeah. Even a Frisbee that you can't throw straight to save your ass. It's just impossible.
But how often are you really going to have to throw a copy of Vanilla Ice's to the Extreme straight in order to save your ass?
I would hope not very often. I mean, some weird hunter type who is really into skeet shooting, and if I don't get to hit this CD, I'm going to have to shoot something.
Right. Some sort of giant House of the Dead style monster whose weak point is exactly the size of a Vanilla Ice CD.
And not any other CD.
Yeah. Gmulti says, if I don't have a dwelling, I can't use my beanbag chair? Yeah. It's like that in real life, man. You can't just put a beanbag chair on the ground and sit on it. That's against the law.
I mean, not having a dwelling is a problem that can be fixed with, what, 500 meat in the demon market?
Yeah, or, you know, maybe 15 turns in the forest, and you know, some knowledge.
Right.
Hoshinokabi says, how is equipment with no power, such as shields, sorted by power? That is a damn good question. It is probably just sorted by item ID, I guess. Let's see. Item class. Shield. Now I'm curious. Okay, so I'm pulling out all the shields. Oh, wait. Actually, also, shields do have a power. You just don't see it. Never mind. Probably in places where all of the power is zero, it's just going to be sorted by item ID. Or by the weird order that MySQL actually keeps them in the database, which I think the only weird artifact of that is that, like, the first item that got added after the first time I ever deleted an item from the database went into the deleted spot, even though the item ID didn't change. So it's like, 1, 2, 3, 164, 4, 5, 6, 7, I have no idea why. But the baseball is really early on the item list for some fucked up reason. Mr. Smoothie says, clicking on a personalized birthday cake in somebody else's display case renders the description with your name, not the owner of the cake. Not so personalized. No, I think it explains that in the description, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It says that it it displays the name of whoever's looking at it.
Yeah. Tiny Plastic Ono Band says, hey guys, love the show. So why doesn't a tuxedo shirt work with Lil Something Somethings? Are those made from...
what?
Martinis. I guess it probably should. The thing is, I don't want to announce that, because then people will know about the secret trick with the tuxedo shirt. Creamy Ass says, is there some interesting story behind the origin of torso awareness? That was yours, wasn't it?
Yeah. No.
I remember talking about that at Anderson's at some point.
Yeah, we were just saying, we don't have any shirts in the game, we should make some shirts. We should have a way to open that equipment slot, and... well, we can have people teach you how to use your torso. And the fact that the creatures who teach you how to use a torso don't have a torso wasn't something that I envisioned, but when you drew them that way, it was perfect.
Yeah, it was kind of a happy accident.
Yeah. It was interesting. I spent most of that masquerade party hanging out with two or three people who had just started playing Kingdom of Loathing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, since I moved here, and one guy had started 2 weeks ago, and hearing the things that they were experiencing and the questions that he was asking. Like, this was a guy who had played a lot of pen and paper RPGs, so uh-huh. He understood what we were going for and asked, hey, am I going to eventually be able to do this and that, and what happens when I do this? And he seemed pretty satisfied with all the answers. So, yeah, it was nice to meet somebody who was playing the game and enjoying it.
That's cool.
But,
yeah, we hardly ever hear from anybody like that anymore.
Right.
That isn't really true. It's just that, you know, the people who complain in the forums, they just cut us so deep.
They cut me so deep that sometimes I have to cut myself. Just to let
just
the
to
pain
see,
out.
Just to see how much you can bleed.
Mm-hmm.
Eek, there's a lure in my dupe says, the description of Ancient Spice should have a joke about a geriatric Spice Girl.
I was actually surprised it doesn't.
Oh, yeah?
But now that I look at it, I'm not sure how that could be worked in.
I don't even know. I think
without demonstrating a knowledge of the Spice Girls, that's a little more than I would like to demonstrate.
Let's see. I didn't realize, I think, until you told me that the Spice Girls did not choose their names.
I didn't tell you that, but...
You didn't know. It was my wife, then. I always get you two mixed up.
Yeah, I can attest to that.
Yeah. Enemy Lasagna says, will the El Vibrato Island ever be part of a side quest or something? I mean, it's part of the get everything from El Vibrato Island side quest.
That's right.
Vividoc says, Sneaky Pete's Day sucks. Green beers don't justify it even being a holiday. Why doesn't Sneaky Pete's Day give +15 to liver like Feast of Boris does stomach? Or hell, I'd be happy with +5 liver. That's just not how it works.
St. Patrick's Day is not as fun as Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
When do we roll on Arbor Day?
I finally took one of the calendars... and I moved it from Zly's desk to my desk, but I still didn't put it on the wall.
Mm-hmm. Arbor Day is not till March 29th.
Oh, okay. Is that the next one we have to do anything for?
There's a generic summer holiday on March 12th. So we have
to... Okay, wow, but still. So nothing for like a month.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, all right. Nikaju points out that the Reach Out and Offend Someone adventure is still Cinco de Mayo-fied.
Oops.
Yeah, that was my fault. It's fucking St. Sneaky Pete's Day always sneaks up on me. The last one. Like, I just happened to have caught somebody mentioning it in the devlog, which is the only reason that it wasn't exactly the same with the same item as last year, before I left town. Like, it was, you know, I would not have probably elected to put in another glow stick. Didn't we have... Something came up on the radio that was... Oh, like the king cake thing.
I never really got that.
Really? I don't really understand what it is, but it's like a cake with like a plastic baby in it, and whoever gets the slice with the baby is the winner.
Right. It has to do the cake for next year, I thought, or in some cases has to buy the rest of the or all of the rounds of drinks or something.
I see. Yeah. But I mean, like a cupcake with some sort of plastic toy inside is a very KOL kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, is a conceivable way to have the next 10 Sneaky Pete's days all done at once. I don't know how we'd want to do that, though. Like, it would be a little silly to have multiple cake items. That would get rough, though, because you could save... Well, we could just make it so you couldn't. I don't know if that would be too weird or not. Enemy Lasagna says, will you make it so the Elvabrato punch cards are interzappable? I was thinking about that at some point, and I don't know if I decided that I liked the idea or not. Something that I keep saying that I'm going to do, and I keep not doing, is, and I'm going to make myself a wiki item about this right now, is making it so after a couple of days you can get a new wand once you blow up your wand. Like, that's... Do it in a way that doesn't impact ascension runs, because it just it bugs me that somebody who's playing experimentally and doesn't ascend just loses their wand. Alright, assigning this to me. An hour or so. That's how long that's going to take. He said, knowing that saying it would make it not true. Rowden says, do you eat the black wedding cake? It tastes of buttercream and mahogany.
Is there a black wedding cake yet, or should there be?
I don't think that there is. We could make a wedding cake that tasted of buttercream and misogyny. You eat the bachelor party cake? Tastes of buttercream and misogyny.
And stripper. Because you're supposed to bake the cake and then put the girl in it.
I see. Ooh, maybe that's what the king cake would have in his tiny plastic strippers. And then you'd get the one who's paying her way through college, and you'd get the one who keeps going out to her car to do lines of crank, and what other kind of strippers are there?
The ones who sincerely enjoy their chosen path in life.
Right.
Those would be the ultra rares.
Right. Landstuhl says, I'm 2 weeks away from being 20, and then I can go around the theater where I work, look at all my friends, and mutter, damn teens, while shaking my fist. Right. Yeah, I think I worked at a theater when I was 20.
Drab Mordenlap says that the yellow exclamation points still direct you to the council even when you have no available council quests.
Well, if anybody can tell me the specific circumstances under which that happens, I can fix it. But at this point, I don't actually know what to look for on that. You told me that it was like that for you, right?
Yeah, I didn't really get any hard evidence on it. I just noticed that I think it was after I had completed a quest at level 9 or 10 I still had the go see the council thing, and the council just kept saying, we have nothing for you. And then the exclamation points would tell me to go and see the council.
Yeah, okay. I'll look at it and see. It's possible that I just forgot to mess with yellow exclamation points after NS 13 rolled out, and so there's. Volpa says, if you have a beanbag or hammock in your dwelling and then upgrade the dwelling, is it supposed to destroy the beanbag slash hammock in the process? Yeah, that is as intended, because you burned down the house. Glebe says, dear Jick, saw today's Penny Arcade, thought of you, and I'm assuming he actually means yesterday's Penny Arcade, which somebody is not excited about Spore. I would not say that it looks boring the way that Gabe did in the comic, but Blick says, how much meat has the Raffle House eaten recently? Ask Carl Sagan, and he'll tell you. Billions and billions. Vaginal Bloodfart says, hey Scully, did you end up buying Endless Ocean? If so, is it any good? I'm on the fence about buying it, and I would rather have somebody else be the guinea pig.
I bought it, but I have yet to play it.
Aha. So. You were so enjoying the Harry Potter game that you didn't even fire it up?
After I played 30 minutes of the Harry Potter game, I just thought, you know, I don't ever want to play a game on a game console again, ever. I'm just slowly coming back from that. I did play, speaking of games that don't suck, my first full campaign or whatever of Arkham Horror.
Yeah?
And that kicked some serious ass. I can see how if you didn't have a guide, like we were playing it with three people, or two people who had played it before, and three people who had no idea what the fuck was going on. So they gave us a cursory explanation and then just dropped into the game, and they would tell us what dice to roll until we figured out what dice to roll. And it seemed like there were hundreds of arcane rules, but having somebody who had already internalized them sitting at the table just made it so we weren't constantly checking the rule book.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
I think it only works if you have somebody who's willing to lay out all of the pieces for you and then explain how it works.
But just every time we tried to play it, it took 6 hours and we still hadn't actually finished a game, you know?
We did. It took like 3.5.
Yeah. I mean, I could see how with somebody who knew all the rules. I mean, the thing is, it's cool, and I would like to play it. I just would like to play it on a computer, you know?
I think that it would lose something, though.
Do you?
Yeah. If it had, like, putting everything in, like, full video would mean that I would be seeing the stuff happen in a way that was different from being told it and having it play out in my head.
Well, I mean, I guess when I say I would play it on a computer, I mean if the computer just showed me a picture of the game board.
Right.
But instead of, you know, it strikes me as just criminally inelegant that there are 11 decks of cards, each of which has 7 cards in it, which represents, you know, one of 3 things that can happen. Like, those 11 decks of cards should be replaced with a single sheet of paper that you just roll dice and look up what it means, you know? Like, I
heard you say that you would rather have, you know, like, the mythos cards and whatnot be in a big book. I would disagree. I would rather just pull a card off the top of a deck than mess with a bunch of pages in a book.
You know, with the items and stuff, I totally agree with you. Like, it's because those, like, represent things, you know, but the ones that, the thing is, you draw a card and it's like, well, okay, which of the, you know, 33 locations are you in?
No, you draw a card and it goes, which of these 3 locations are you in?
Sure, no, that's what I'm saying. But you choose a card based on which of the 33 locations that you are in. And if there was a deck of cards for every location, and they had, like, a picture on them or somewhere, or were somehow, like, characteristically different from one another in anything other than the single sentence that they contain. You know, if something is on a physical card, I want it to have some flavor. I want there to be a reason for it to be a card, you know? This is a very petty complaint. I know, but it just seeing that many decks of cards
It's daunting, but it made perfect sense.
Yeah.
But it is a game that requires just really tight control and somebody to guide you. And you have to make sure you do all the game phases in order. But it's amazing how much of that... Like, I don't remember fighting with the game mechanics. I remember a campaign.
Right.
Just kind of impressive. The one thing that I thought, it just they are completely in love with little bits of cardboard. And it seemed to me like your sanity counter and your stamina counter could have been little sliders on the actual character sheet.
Yeah, agreed.
And didn't have to be one little token for each one. And
the way that Betrayal at House on the Hill handles that, I feel like, is just fantastic.
Yeah, and the way you change the focus for your three stats, those could have been little plastic sliders attached to the card, and then you wouldn't have eight bags of tiny little things.
Yeah.
But it seemed like that's a design choice. Like, they wanted to have just a whole bunch of shit that comes with this game, and it's kind of interesting. I really liked the money, though. Just a little tiny.
I don't remember what the money looks like.
$5 bills and $10 bills.
Yeah.
Well, it just looks like money. Thick. Yeah.
Clemens says, when are we going to get more Hanukkah content? I missed out on the dreidel and have been dying to get one.
Yeah. Hanukkimbo kind of went by the wayside. Maybe there will be a holiday war. The war on Krimbo next time around.
And Hanukkimbo. Or maybe there will be a war between, say, you know, the world. Some sort of world war. That you know, is clearly the sort of thing that causes the Jews to come out on top. So,
right.
So, Hanukkimbo becomes the new Krimbo.
Earl of Derby says, I'm done with glow sticks. Seriously. Will the next Sneaky Pete Day not have glow sticks? Yeah, had I seen the Sneaky Pete Day coming, I would have tried to come up with something different for it.
Yeah, me too, because we really... that was kind of a stretch as far as an actual glow stick color.
Right. Since the next Sneaky Pete's Day is on St. Patrick's Day, though, that's as good a time as any to change the way the quest chain works and change the reward.
Yeah, true that. We should also look at the adventures themselves, because I feel like all of the work that has been done on Sneaky Pete's Day has been, oh, fuck, I have, like, 2 hours to update St. Sneaky Pete's Day, and, like, that whole, there's still being Cinco de Mayo stuff in there, that has been there for probably the last 4 St. Sneaky Pete's Days.
Right.
And, you know, it is happening, so, you know, so. Like, I feel like we could stand to maybe just... I mean, I don't want to say redo it completely, but...
Well, that's
like,
what I mean.
So much stuff has been phased out. Like, and plus, how hard is it to write stories about stuff that happens to you when you're drunk, you know? Like,
yeah. Well, the one time that we saw Sneaky Pete's Day coming was when we started the glow stick thing.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah,
it's
a little bit,
course. So we can start completely from scratch on that. Although, before that, we had the getting your spleen removed and getting a ribbon, and...
Yeah.
That was alright, but... Yeah, we agree with you, Earl of Derby, that we're done with glow sticks, too.
Dr. Van Mojo says, any chance of more taco-related food items? Tacos are great, and putting unexpected things in taco shells is both great and funny. We could make the Haradrick taco cube. You know, that would be kind of an interesting... like, if you got, like, a taco press, you know, that you put in 3 cooking ingredients and a wad of dough, and it gave you... 1 of 8 different tacos of varying rarities, you know?
Hmm.
I think that'd be kind of interesting.
Yeah.
It'd be a way that you could eat up, literally, you know, unused cooking ingredients. If you could actually discover recipes, that would be interesting, too.
Hmm.
But, I don't know. I don't know that,
cooking ingredients are the things that we need interesting mechanics to sink. It would destroy a lot of items if you could basically put items into a slot machine to get different items out of it. You know, I feel like people would just drop useless shit into that all day long.
Right.
If there was a 1 in 1,000 chance of getting something cool out of it, and, you know, 1 in 100 chance of getting something kind of cool. And
it's like gambling with items.
Yeah.
I think it would be fun to just be able to make slurry. Just take your, like, 20 cottage cheeses and all the stuff you don't want to cook with and shove it into a meat grinder and make something that is a better food than its base ingredients, but not by much. It'd be fun. Adana says, in random news, El Vibrato is God and High in Hebrew. I'm really glad that El Vibrato was the one who discovered that stuff.
I mean, yeah, we were worried that somebody with a retarded name was going to find it.
Pickle McPickle Pants Island. Just yeah, it could have been. Vaginal Blood Fart Island.
Blood Fart Island. Not that that's a retarded name, but you know what we're saying.
I'm sure that he would not argue that it is entirely a retarded name. It's but El Vibrato, actually, before I remembered that that was how that content was going to work, I accepted that name at face value because it just fits.
Yeah, it really does. That was just super lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Deadly Dusk was who wrote in asking if I was going to watch Angel, since chronologically speaking it starts up right after Buffy Season 2. The reason I ask is that Angel has a much darker tone and I gradually begin to enjoy it more than Buffy. I don't know. Does it have a darker tone?
It's a lot more bleak, I think.
I've been told that it has a lot more Cordelia in it, which is something that I don't so much care for.
She becomes a completely different character, though. She's the, you know, the bitch in high school who goes out into the big bad world and gets slapped down pretty heavily, and so she's a lot better character. But, like, the whole point of Buffy is we fight evil, and if we fight it hard enough, we win.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole point of Angel is we fight evil, and we can never beat it, and we can never even make a dent in it, but we fight it because it's the right thing to do.
So. I see.
But yeah, I would definitely suggest once you get... I'm pretty sure he's wrong about that, though. It's the end of Season 3 is when Angel starts. But I would suggest, like, watching a disc of Buffy Season 3 and then a disc of Angel. Because then, early on, when they're still on the same network, they do a couple of crossovers.
Huh. I didn't really... I don't know. It didn't occur to me to be interested in watching Angel.
Mm-hmm.
But... You know, I guess it's the same kind of thing. I mean, you know, it's the kind of thing that I probably would have watched when it was on if I had known that it was about vampires and demons and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid to like Angel as a villain in Buffy because I'm just expecting him to get repaired by the end of this season, and there are only like 3 episodes left. You know, so it's like. I'm not fishing for spoilers. I'm just
I'm not going to supply any, but
the fact that I know that Angel doesn't stay a bad guy. I mean, the thing is, there was no suspense. I knew he was a vampire from the first time I saw him, right? Like because I'd seen an episode of Angel before. So. Right, sure. And then my wife points out all the people that he's killed that I didn't see coming, but. Sure.
Yeah, Jenny Calendar was, that's interesting. Anyway,
let's see.
Lazy Joe says you should make a drink called Tequila Mockingbird to mock Harper Lee's book. I don't think I would mock the book, but, I think we hit that with the Jorge Sin Sante tequila. Because Sin Sante is Spanish for Mockingbird.
Yep. See, we prefer subtle nods to horrible jokes.
Mm-hmm. I prefer brand of joke, of which I guess there are two. I prefer the 2,000 mockingbirds equals 2 kilo mockingbirds.
Right. Fred Levi says, blank is a pretty cool guy, eh? Blank and doesn't afraid of anything is a silly meme. And I have no idea how it started. I think it had something to do with the meme of calling Samus Metroid. That's kind of funny.
That's not a meme I've encountered.
Cloudstripe says, what's up with these El Vibrato droids? Are these the droids we're looking for? No, they're not. Or were they left here by the Forerunners? They were actually left there by the Liberties.
I thought they were left there by the Rum Runners.
So somebody earlier had asked if we were ever going to give any backstory on El Vibrato, and I don't know. I think it's interesting to not give any backstory. I mean, it seems pretty obvious that they are the remnants of some prior civilization, but not going to tell you anything about that civilization.
That stuff did make me think of the Disney cartoon Atlantis, which is probably not something that you've seen.
Yeah, I have not. I actually meant to.
It turned out much better than you would think. That some people would think. And certainly better than it was reviewed. So, yeah, I would say that it's worth watching. And if for nothing else, the guy who drew Hellboy does the character designs. And it just has, like, it's less of that Disney plotting and more, like, Indiana Jones-style plotting, I would guess.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, so, I saw that teaser trailer for the new Indiana Jones movie, and I want to be excited about it, man. The only thing the thing that is stopping me from being excited about it is the hope that welled up in my chest the first time I saw a preview for fucking Phantom Menace.
Hmm.
You know? Like, I don't wanna get excited about it and then go there and what's his name? Shia LaBeouf is like fucking Jar Jar, you know?
Right. The thing is, I think that Shia is going to be playing the same character that he played in Constantine, and I didn't really mind that character.
Yeah, no, I was actually trying to figure out where I had seen him, because I knew I liked him in that weird, like, I'm the guy who drives the car role.
Right.
You know?
I have no faith in George Lucas to resurrect a franchise, but Steven Spielberg's involved, and they both had to sign off on the script. I'm not that happy that it's being directed by, like, the Dean Koontz to Steven Spielberg, Stephen King. But
who's directing it?
The guy who directed, I think, Jurassic Park 3.
Huh, so, like, I never saw that.
The guy that Steven Spielberg pawns his projects off on. I'm just going to see what else he's done. He directed Zathura.
Was that any good?
Actually, he didn't direct Zathura.
Oh, well, never mind. I don't care if it was any good or not.
Okay, I'm wrong. He didn't direct Jurassic Park 3. He wrote Jurassic Park. I'll be damned.
That was Michael Crichton.
Oh, he wrote the script for Jurassic Park.
The first Jurassic Park, the movie was, I gotta say, pretty satisfactory.
Yeah, kind of better than the book. Okay, I'm totally wrong about Indiana Jones. Steven Spielberg's directing it, and Spielberg, Lucas, and this guy, David Kapp, wrote the script, and he's got a decent, you know, like, Jurassic Park, Carlito's Way.
But Spielberg Spider-Man. Was responsible for the "those aren't guns, they're walkie-talkies" shit, right? Or was that all Lucas?
I believe that was his choice.
Yeah.
I think that he got over that as soon as he did it, though. You know, like, Lucas went, "Oh, how cool, I can go and fuck with all of my old movies." And I think Spielberg did it and then went, "Oh, that was a terrible idea."
I know. Just the interview I saw with George Lucas where he talks about how he really wishes that it was possible to, you know, to go back and prevent Indiana Jones from behaving like such a coward when he shoots the swordsman in Raiders of the Lost Ark. And it's like, yeah, that's right, dude. Just go back and take away one of the coolest
scenes and most interesting bits of character development. Like, yeah, and you're right. That was terrible.
Well, that's just the thing. Any moment that you loved in any George Lucas movie was probably an accident.
Yep.
Like, he wishes also that he could make Han Solo say, "I love you too."
Yeah, yeah.
So, it's clear as time goes by that George Lucas is not really that talented of a guy. That he just kind of had this idea for Star Wars and got lucky.
So really, Star Wars was to him what, you know, the NS-11 Ascension game was to us.
Yeah. I was going to say what Pulp Fiction was to Quentin Tarantino, but...
But Reservoir Dogs was really good.
Yeah, that's what screws it up. It's just like, everything he's put out since then has been just kind of, meh.
Killing Zoe was good too, but I don't remember really, I don't know what he had to do with that.
I think that was primarily written by Roger Avery, who was the other guy who wrote Pulp Fiction, and wrote Beowulf.
I still haven't seen Beowulf. Reverend Noodleson says, "Dear JNS, since the acoustic guitar dropped from the level 11 zone, now would you think about upping its power and effects? Also, why 2% meat drop? Isn't that basically pointless?" Yeah, but it's a funny joke. It's, you know, with an acoustic guitar, you can occasionally get someone to give you a nickel in the real world, and that's kind of funny. Let's see what else. Namor the Submariner says, "Why doesn't the empty Cloaca Cola bottle have a The Gods Must Be Crazy reference?" People keep asking that. I have never seen The Gods Must Be Crazy.
It does. It always has.
Really?
For as long as we've been at war with Oceania.
Oh, I see. Did you take a look at that just now?
Yeah.
Do I need to see The Gods Must Be Crazy?
Eh. It's goofy and kind of like intentionally badly dubbed and with some scene shot in that weird fast motion that used to equal hilarity. And I didn't really understand why it was a cult classic when I watched it.
Wow, Steve-O-56, I'm not going to read his question out loud, but he pointed out something that is going to be kind of broken about the familiar that we're working on for March's Item of the Month.
Hey.
Because by default, whatever enchantment is on that, on its equipment, is going to apply to you.
Hmm. Which it shouldn't.
Yeah, but it's a lot more interesting if it does.
Hmm.
I don't know. That we'll have to think about that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that has the potential to be the single most broken thing that we've ever done. Mm-hmm. You know? If we did it like that. There's probably a way for me to... Yeah. God. Now I'm curious. I'm curious as to whether that would be...
We'll have to consult with the dev team on that, for sure.
Yeah. Varaxpoil says, "Hey guys, yesterday I bought the Casanova Gnome, and I realized it is the most animated image in the game, right?" I don't know. I don't know how you quantify the extent to which something is animated.
There was some pretty pimpin' animation on that.
I was so happy with the way that the Hunchback Minion turned out.
Mm.
I think I was worried about even being able to draw that in the amount of space that there was, much less draw something that Hot Stuff could actually do a decent animation with, but everything fell together. Giga Shadow Fa-Fa-Fa says, "Don't worry, Jick, I don't like Jonathan Colton either." It's not that I don't like him.
I'll tell you what, I'll do what I've always wished somebody would do for me with Ween. I will send you my, like, 5 favorite Jonathan Colton, like, the mind-changing Jonathan Colton songs.
Okay. Do you want me to send you my 5 favorite Ween songs?
Yeah.
All right.
So I've been waiting for somebody, like, "Please change my mind about Ween. I feel uncomfortable that I don't like them, because I'm clearly supposed to."
Right. Enter the Wumper says, "Jick, a while ago you mentioned some weird phrase about a cheese that a cat dog farmer ate, chased, killed. What was that phrase?" And I was... "This is the cheese that the cat that the dog chased bit ate."
Hmm.
Which, you know, there's probably some reason that that's not actually
a legitimate sentence, but it's not one that you can define very readily.
Right. Naked Jew says, are you honestly telling me that Vaginal Bloodfart's primary name for his gal is Greta because of my stupid drunken joke? Is that the actual factual truth? Yeah, he introduced her to us as Greta. And we went, wow, that's weird. That's Xenophobe's real name as well, you know. And he said, yeah, ever since I heard that, every time I can't remember somebody's name, I just call them Greta. And when I met her, I wasn't expecting to end up being serious with her, and I didn't remember her name, so I called her Greta. And now, just, it's weird for her when somebody calls her Chrissy, which is her actual name.
I think I may have screwed up that sentence. It is, this is the cheese that the mouse, that the cat, that the dog chased bit ate. That was
where does the bit come in?
The dog bit the cat.
Mm.
Or vice versa. Either, like, the dog or the cat chased... The dog and the cat and the mouse, there was some chasing and some biting, and I'm not sure which... End of the Wampus says, no. So the Harry Potter games has the beginnings of neat, but it stops there. The spellcasting doesn't make a goddamn bit of sense, even after I played all the way through the game and made the fights really hard. That sucks. Like, it seems like the way that you've described that problem, it would have been really easy to fix.
Mm-hmm.
MythMan611 asks of us, the pretty prince of parties, where do we get our clothes? They are indeed crocheted of snow.
The best part of the spell casting system is when you pull out your wand, you have your arm out with the wand in it, and it's very, very, very loosely mapped to where your pointer is. So pretty much you're just kind of standing there with your arm jumping up and down and randomly moving left and right while the rest of the avatar stays completely motionless. So it kind of looks like a Terry Jones kind of animation. Just, yeah, I'm still stuck on, you know, there have been horrible games for the Wii, but there have not been horrible games for the Wii that have been praised as much as that one has.
Huh.
I will try to get over it.
Ah, fuck. Rutar Klepp points out another problem. He also points out that entirely by accident, the name of the language is Cholala. That's kind of funny.
Why is it?
What's that?
Why is it?
Well, that's apparently what El Vibrato translates into.
Oh.
The conception and construction of the method for generating that language was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that. Just sitting around trying to figure out how to make it so that it would consistently come up with stuff that sounded cool.
Mm-hmm.
Giga Shadow 5 says, Ed the Undying Valentine is awesome. Kudos to whoever wrote it. All those Valentines were Scullies.
And I'm looking forward to writing more familiar-based Valentines. That was pretty freaking fun.
Yeah. I had to like recode the message sending thing to make it so it could use item images rather than adventure images. That was an unexpected but fairly straightforward thing I had to do.
But I only did the Undying one because every time I play that fight, I laugh out loud. Undying. That's funny.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's something that no matter how annoying that is, everybody's going to love it because the content is so good. We can't hit a bullseye every time the way Rift does, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Senior Random says, guess who got a Fred Schneider solo album today from eBay? It's me! Yay! That's right.
I think I would describe getting a Fred Schneider album the same way I would describe getting a venereal disease, honestly.
Come on. Do you not like the B-52s at all because of him?
I like the B-52 songs where he doesn't talk.
Oh.
I don't know why. I find him annoying.
I mean, I don't know.
Matching towels.
I just pretty much like every song on Cosmic Thing. Like, I don't know. The music is so good, and the girls singing... It sounds so pretty that, like, he can't make a dent in my mind.
And to me, it just sounds like, hey, we're a really good band. What would improve our band? Like, let's hire some guy to stand in front of the microphone and just shout whatever comes to mind. It doesn't have to make any sense. It doesn't have to be a particularly pleasing voice. Just have him shout some shit. And, of course, you haven't karaoke'd enough to hate Love Shack the way that I hate Love Shack.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Rickett says, Dear Jick and Co., thanks for the new Clover Adventures. Please reward yourself with more time at Fuzzle Faggot Ridge. Although, that happened post-Fuzzle Faggot Ridge. So, maybe it was the coming back that made those Clover Adventures happen.
That all happened today.
Iluro Dragon said, also very nice Clover Adventure. Yeah. You're a funny dude.
Just happened.
Double Aw says, if there's a whole place to do haiku and stuff, why not have a place to do limericks? Those are more funny in most cases. If you mean a chat channel, that would just be impossible.
It'd be palatial.
I gotta say, though, I like the XKCD guy's limerick database.
Mm-hmm.
There's some funny stuff. That limerick about the poet named Herman. That was... Yeah. Katarina Navon says, I think the Final Fantasy equivalent of the Slimes in Dragon Warrior are the Flans. Yeah, okay, so I mean, I know that there's that generic, like, slime monster, but what I meant was the sort of thing that you run into just outside the first town.
I could ask Jess, she would probably know that.
Yeah. Oh, crap. I have this problem where I'm pretty constantly, when I go to click on a tab in Firefox, I accidentally click on one of my toolbar buttons and just reload whatever's in the tab that I'm reading. Ender the Wumper says, Hey, Jick, what did you think of Forum Wars? Some of the stuff is really risque, and I don't know if they're using Ajax or what, but the way the site runs is pretty neat. Yeah, it is. It is cool. It's a little busy, but I understand why it's like that.
I just played through the intro with the little, like, search engine in the chat box that pops up, and I thought that was pretty pimp.
Yeah, it's neat the way that they turn the sort of way the internet works in general into an RPG.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm going to run out of content pretty quick, and it was something that I would definitely play once, but I would not, like, get involved in the community and stick around or whatever.
Man, I wish that we could somehow have both hours of our show be the second hour of the show.
Why is that?
Because it's over.
Oh.
Now, and it seems like we come back from the break and we're like, all right, let's talk about some shit. And the second half of the show just goes so much faster, it seems like.
Hmm.
But
the trip home always shorter.
But that's it for us for the day, folks.
All right, I'll talk to you guys on Thursday. For those of you listening, and I know that those of you listening are just the merest fraction of the people, to whom this was an incredibly poorly constructed sentence. I know that those of you who listen live represent only a mere fraction of those of you who are listening to this right now. But the show, the coming Thursday show is going to be at the same time that it always is, but after that, we're getting an hour earlier due to some sweeping schedule changes, I guess, over at the Radio KOL home office in Burlington. This coming Thursday, same time, Thursday after that, an hour earlier. So set your alarms accordingly.
Right. And my show tomorrow will be an hour later. For all of you who like horrible music. All right, folks, we'll see you together on the microphone next week at the same time as always.
Bye-bye.
Good night.